Wednesday, July 29th, 2015. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we bring you a little bit different of an outlook on the world of sports than you get anywhere else. If you want something a little bit different than what is, you know, spit out by all those other companies, if you want some insight on your sports, if you want some humor with your sports, stick around and get comfortable. You're going to like what you find right here. If you would like to contact me, a couple different ways you can do that. You can find me on Twitter, Daily Dose Sports. Twitter handle is at Daily Dose Sports, DALYDOSE, Daily Dose Sports. You can find me on Facebook with the same name if you would like to spice up that hideous Facebook feed. I know mine is not always my favorite thing to open. If you'd like to go over to our website, check out the website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. I think you will find some articles. You will find some things on there that you will enjoy. We put a few different things on there. We have some polls on there. We have some articles that go up every week. Check them out. I've gotten some good feedback on those, and I think you will like those. So head on over to check that out. If you would like to email us here at the show, email us here, dailydosesports@gmail.com. That comes directly to the show. And, you know, the reason that I bring that up, you know, speaking of email, I have something a little bit different for you today. Over the past 6-7 months that we've been doing the podcast, I've been collecting some of the best questions from both Twitter and from emails. And I'm going to read those for you today. You know, I've told you in the past, probably the best part about doing this podcast is coming in contact with some really, really smart listeners. And the great thing about the Daily Dose, we have smart listeners. They don't just buy the nonsense that's spit out by, you know, the major sporting outlets that are out there. They come here for something a little bit different. And we have some really, really smart listeners. Going back to the old radio days, when we were called the Thinking Man's Sports Show, back to the Daily Dose, you know, the radio show in Denver, we have some intelligent listeners. And you have sent some intelligent questions. And so today, on the Daily Dose, I am going to crack open the old Daily Dose mailbag. Do you remember the old Daily Dose mailbag if you were with us back in the day? And see a few of the letters that we have, a couple of things that have been sent to me that I think you might find interesting. You know, the question, one of the things that I get constantly, one of the emails and the tweets that I get constantly is basically this. Clint, you're a jerk. Stop making fun of my favorite team, my favorite coach, my favorite player. And I have a lot of those. That's okay. That's all right. Those don't hurt my feelings. When I first started getting those hurt my feelings a little bit. But I'm past that now. I'm beyond that. And those are okay. Here's the thing. I've said this in the past. It's better to be talked about than just to be completely, like, we don't even pay attention to you. There's a couple teams. I'll be honest. There's a couple teams out there that I pick on. But for the most part, I'm only talking about you if you're relevant. Patriots fan, I'm only talking about you because you're relevant. I wouldn't talk about you if you were horrible. If you're like the Saints or something, I don't care. I don't even bring you up. If you're like the Browns or something, I have no reason to bring you up. If I'm talking about you, don't be so sensitive. I have a couple people who have gotten very sensitive about me picking on their college team. And we haven't even gotten into college football season yet, and they're already like, what's your problem with my school? Calm down. Ease up. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. Let's get to the real questions. Here's one. Clint, you say we a lot when you are on the show, but we never hear anyone else on the show. Who exactly is we? Andrew sent that in. Andrew, let me tell you, here's the question. Do you think that I am smart enough to do this show by myself? Because I have news for you. I have a number of contributors, and they're not always, they're kind of behind the scenes that help me. They'll help me. I'll bounce ideas off of them. They'll shoot me some different ideas, and we'll kind of go back and forth. I have people like John. I have people like Mike, Rob, Larry, Todd will give me some stuff. Kristen will give me some stuff. I have a couple people here and there, friends, people that are you know, we kind of count them among the brain trust and consult with them on a lot of the things that we talk about or things that I write articles on or whatever it might be. And then after I kind of consult with them and we kind of discuss some of these things, I ignore them and then do whatever I feel like doing. But, you know, I'll make a note. We may have to bring some of these people on because I have some of these people that are out there that I think if I brought them on the show, you would enjoy hearing them. We'll have to, A couple of them are like Rob's busy. Rob's a busy guy. Rob keeps hidden. He keeps to himself. I try to bring him out for certain things, but he keeps kind of hidden. There are certain people just around. You know, Larry's kind of like that. There are certain people. I'll bring some of these people on. Just know in the future, you will get a look inside the brain trust here at the Daily Dose. Let's go to our next email. Clint, I really enjoy the show. Thank you. I appreciate that. You always make me laugh at work while listening on my headphones, which makes people around me think that I'm crazy. So thanks for that. You're welcome. You talked a few shows ago about Texas being conservative and Colorado being more liberal. Do you consider yourself a conservative or liberal politically? That is from Vince. Thank you for the question. I appreciate that. You know, when it comes to politics, when it comes to anything, I don't care if it's politics, I don't care if it's religion, I guess I prefer to consider myself a member of like the common sense party. You know, if you agree with every single thing someone says, you probably need to check yourself. Like if you sit there and you say, I am a conservative, and so the Republican Party, I go right down the list and yep, I agree with every single thing that, yeah, really? So to answer the question, I guess I consider myself, I guess I would be independent. There are things I'm conservative on. There are things that I'm more liberal on. And it's kind of having that balance, because if you agree with every single thing someone says, like if you agree with everything your maybe your boss says, or maybe your psychiatrist, or your I don't know, pastor, reverend, or whatever. Every single thing they say, I agree with. Really? You may want to check yourself, because you're like in the crosshairs for like being a member of like a cult or something. So check that just a little bit. And I do think it's weird, and I'm not the first person to say this, but I think it's weird in America. You know, in a dictatorship, you have one candidate. Like you go to the, I guess if you're going to vote, you have that one single candidate, and that's the only choice that you have. That's all you get. You're over in Iran or whatever, and that is your only choice. It's a dictatorship. Here's your vote however you want, but you're voting for one guy. But here in America, it's different. It's the bastion of civil liberties. It's freedom. It's a nation of resources and multiple cultures. So we have two candidates, which is weird to me. It's just strange to me. I feel like we shouldn't be boxed into those two parties, and that's, I guess, why I would consider myself more independent, because it doesn't make sense. Like, we evolve in different ways. I look at things a little bit different way, and I look at this and say, well, this party I think is right here, but over here they're completely out of their minds. And this part, so, you know, we change. And keep one thing in mind. Whenever you're talking about having these beliefs or whatever you might have, you know, you're like a communist or maybe a socialist or maybe a Democrat until you get rich and then you kind of change. You might be like a feminist until you get married and then kind of change. You might be an atheist until your plane starts falling and then it kind of changes. Always keep that in mind. Let's move forward. Clint, the Daily Dose is great, but you pick on my Raiders and Lakers way too much. That's funny to me. Also, the Lakers scored 5 points in a quarter in a summer league game versus the awful Knicks. How worried should we be? And try being nice for a change. That is from Beth. Try being nice for a change. Well, first off, I pick on the Raiders and Lakers too much. Well, probably. Yes, you're right. I probably do. A couple things about Summer League. And I've told you in the past, I've coached a little bit. I've coached Summer League. It's not NBA Summer League, but I understand Summer League. There are certain things about Summer League. Here's the thing about Summer League. No, you shouldn't get too wrapped up in the Summer League and the fact that the Lakers scored 5 points or whatever. It's Summer League. You can't win a championship in summer. I've coached against teams or been a part of teams or whatever that they win like the Summer League trophy in quotes, and they go out and celebrate that. Like, they really, you don't win championships in the summer, but you can kind of lose a championship in the summer. Because if you go through the summer and you start to feel like you're totally decimated, like you go, man, we're going to be horrible this year. Like at times we do okay, but man, we're getting blown out. You can kind of start losing regular season games back in the summer. before it ever starts. Here's my problem from the Lakers' perspective and in the situation that they have. Your summer league team doesn't look that different from what you're going to have regular season wise. Like you're playing Randall and you're playing some of the young kids you have, but how different are you really going to look come regular? You're going to bring in what, Kobe on his walker and Swaggy P to miss threes? So that would be the part that would concern me. Again, summer is not a huge deal. The biggest thing you want to get from the summer league, the biggest thing that you want some guys to start get some confidence. You want to get some people to start playing with each other and start getting a little bit of familiarity. You want to get a little bit of chemistry. But other than that, it's summer. You don't want to get decimated where you're going into the regular season and you're saying, hey, it's just the start of the season. It's like November, December, and we already know we're going to be horrible. That would be my concern for the Lakers right now. Yes, they'll get a couple players, coming in, but you'll get Roy Hibbert. I guess I don't think he's playing in the summer league. So Roy Hibbert's coming. Fear not, Roy Hibbert's coming. Kobe will come. He'll be back for like a week or so. So there's that. I hope that answers your question. And I'm always nice. What are you talking about trying being nice for a change? I'm always nice. And Beth, I will especially be nice to you. Because before you, I didn't even know Raider fans could write. Clint, love the show. Have you ever considered naming each episode instead of just having a number for your episode? Also, Ghost Saints and Pelicans. That is from Emily. We have a few female listeners. We have some listeners that are females. I've heard from a few of them, even a few that I don't have emails from. Have I ever considered naming each episode? Well, I guess here's my problem. I am trying to come up with actual sports takes and that kind of thing that I think if I dwelled on trying to name an episode, it would probably distract me. I'm easily distracted. Like, I can be really focused and working and doing, and then something like shiny goes by, and I'm like, hey, look at the kitty, that kind of thing. So I can't get too distracted, or I kind of lose track of what I'm doing. So if you have suggestions, if you say, hey, I would name your episodes for you, I don't know exactly how that would work, but I keep them numbers because I keep them simple, and I'm just not smart enough to come up with names or themes or any of that thing. So go Saints. Did I just make fun of the Saints? Emily, I apologize in advance for making, did I just say something about the Saints are irrelevant? I don't know. Whatever. Let's go forward. Clint, keep the top fives coming. Love the dose. My daughter's volleyball coach says she needs to stop playing soccer so she can focus just on volleyball and get a scholarship. Any truth to what she says? That is from Jeff. Excellent question. I appreciate that question. That's a smart question. First off, see if you can get your daughter's volleyball coach fired because he or she is an absolute idiot. I'm kidding. Don't get a coach fired. That's not right. Well, I'm sort of kidding because they are an idiot. Here's the problem. That's absolutely incorrect. That is false information you are being told. And you're not the only person being told this. I saw this a lot in coaching where we tell these kids, hey, you're like 4.5 now. You might want to start specializing. Really? Is that what we're really going to tell the kids? Is that they need to start specializing? Here's the problem. Do you realize that last year, over 82% of the Division I scholarships went to multi-sport athletes? Think about that for just a second. Over 82% of Division I scholarships went to players that played multi-sports. So don't tell me they need to specialize. When you go play other sports, you develop timing. You develop other muscle groups in other sports that can be really, really beneficial to your sport. Maybe that's your passion. Maybe that's your sport that you really want to focus on. But you develop other things playing in other sports. You know what else you develop? You develop a wide range of interests. We don't have to have a kid burn out as a sophomore in high school, because I've been playing soccer since I was 4.5 and they won't let me play anything else. Let the kids enjoy the change of season. Now, if you have a kid that they burn for that specific sport and they don't want to do anything else, I get that. I appreciate that. But if you sit there and just tell me, yeah, I'm really thinking of locking my kid down and not letting them play other sports, you might want to think about that. Here, let me give you an example. You know, the USA soccer team, which won a dosi a few weeks back on our show. Did you know that Abby Wambach played both basketball and soccer, and she credits basketball with her sense of timing with the headers that she had around the goal? Morgan Bryan, I know, played multiple sports. Amy Rodriguez, who is a kid that is one of the younger players that is coming up and looks like she has a really, really bright future. She swam, she played softball, she ran track, and she played soccer. So don't give me this, they've got to start specializing. The problem, honestly, in this situation is that so many parents start getting this mentality of my kid has to get a scholarship. They've got to get the scholarship because it's going to be a financial burden for us if they don't get the scholarship into college. And they start falling into this trap of thinking, we have to get a scholarship. We don't have a choice. So you've got to start specializing, and they become desperate. Here is the thing that no one really talks about, no one really tells you. Most of those kids that specialize and they're playing in the clubs and they're playing year-round and they're playing constantly and they're traveling and they're on their travel team and it's a competitive team and they're going all over the place, you've already paid for your scholarship. The scholarship is paid. At this point, you're so far in paying all these things, that kid better get a scholarship because now you're kind of stuck. What we always kind of told our kids and our parents, we want the kid to have the good experience. If the kid comes out of soccer or volleyball or whatever your child is playing and they hate the sport, you've done a great disservice to the kid. Don't run those kids in one sport and to the point that they go, you know what? I kind of don't like it anymore. I would rather go to a birthday party. I would rather go hang out with my friends. I would rather go play another sport just to get away from it because it's been all I've been allowed to do forever and ever and ever since I was just a little kid. And it ends up being something where maybe they got the scholarship, but they can't stand what they do. What you've done basically is you've put your child into forced labor at the age of like, 9 or 10. I hope that answers your question, Jeff. That question was from Jeff. I didn't say that, but really, really good question, really smart question. But I hope that answers the question for you. All right, let's see what's next here. Daily Dose, great show. Love your top fives. Who would your all time NBA starting five be? That is from Adam. My all time NBA starting five. I gotta think about that one. Starts with my point guard. I want, I'm going to take Magic with my point guard. Magic Johnson is my point guard. You know, a couple things about Magic, was not a great defender. Defensively, that was a different, kind of style that they played, but offensively, he's going to be so, so tough. He's such a tough matchup to have a guy his size that was able to see with his vision and with his eyes. Magic is just such a matchup problem for just about everyone. And I do think with Magic Johnson, especially when we see guys like LeBron, I think we sometimes, as sports fans, I've told you this in the past, we have really short memories as sports fans. The greatest thing is what just happened in front of us. Like, we can watch a decent game and it has a great finish. Like, oh, that's the greatest game ever. Is it really? Probably not. But like Magic, we sometimes kind of forget how good he was at finding the open man. He gets a little bit of, sometimes we look at him and say, well, look at all the talent he played with. Yeah, but as a point guard, how are you able to keep all of that talent happy constantly? There is something to be said for that. And if I'm going to put him on my all-time NBA starting five, I better have a point guard that can keep everybody happy. Now, when you look at certain teams, like take someone like John Stockton. And John Stockton, I think, is one of the greatest point guards who has probably ever played. But let's be real honest. We know who he's going to feed, right? I mean, when John Stockton comes up the floor, we don't have to worry too much. He's probably going to go to Carmelo. I mean, with Magic, you had Byron Scott, you had James Worthy, you had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you had all these different guys, Jamal Wilkes, and different players that he played with that he had to kind of keep in the flow, keep happy, keep finding his communication skills, the way that he ran the team, the way that he said, hey, I know this player needs a couple of feeds here now and again. I'm going to take Magic Johnson with my point guard. Greatest player ever. I'm going to take Michael Jordan as my shooting guard. Could do everything. I know, again, sometimes our memories are a little bit short as sports fans. Sometimes we forget how good Mike really, really was. Because he could go out and to get, you know, we saw LeBron go out in the finals and he'd be like, oh man, LeBron had 40. Jordan got 40 every night. It wasn't a big deal. Not only did he get 40 every night, he could lock down your best player too. I mean, when Scottie came along, it kind of took that pressure off of Michael, but Mike could go out and shut down your best player too. So defensively, offensively, get whatever I want. My small forward, I'm taking Larry Legend. I gotta go Bird. I gotta go Larry Bird. Bird, another guy that could always make the right pass, could find the right play. Not pretty. Bird's basketball, it was pretty from a certain standpoint, but it was kind of awkward looking. The shot wasn't even always pretty. It's kind of an awkward shot. We've talked about that before. But you know, he made plays that you can't coach. When you see a ball come off the rim, your first instinct is to grab it, or sometimes you just see Larry tap it to a teammate for a layup. How do you teach that? I mean, that's just an instinct to the game that guys don't have. And don't forget one very, very important thing that kind of gets lost with Larry Bird. Don't forget that very early on in his career, he went out and was like paving his parents' driveway or whatever and hurt his back. That would never happen today, by the way, but hurt his back because he didn't, you know, he wanted to do it himself. He wasn't going to pay to have someone else do it. And these were the days of different contracts and that kind of thing. I don't know that we really got to see Larry Bird truly physically ever at his finest. For as phenomenal of a career as he had, his back bothered him throughout his career after that. That's something that we kind of forget. I'm going to take Bird as my small forward. Again, not great defensively. But you want to talk about one of probably the most clutch shooter ever. I mean, a guy that would come out and tell the defense, I'm going to do this. I'm going to catch it here. I'm going to shoot it here. And then actually do it? Who does that? Bird would. Go out and tell Xavier McDaniel, hey, I'm going to come off this screen. I'm going to catch it here. I'm going to shoot it here right in your eye. And there's nothing you can do about it. Did it and hit it. Going into to the locker room for the 3-point contest, what was that, in like in 87, I think, and he walks in there and says, which one of you guys is finishing second? I mean, this is against the best of the best. This is against the 3-point shooters, the best shooters in the game. Which one of you guys is finishing second today? I'll take Larry Bird. I'll take Bird. And we won't be, with Bird and Magic, we won't be great defensively. But let's look at my power forward. And I know I might get some slack for picking this guy as my power forward. A number of different guys you might go with. Maybe one of these spots I should be giving to LeBron James. My power forward, I'm going Tim Duncan. And I know you're going to say, no, he's a center. No, he's not. He's a power forward. Give me Duncan. Duncan's ability to always track the ball, find the ball, find his teammates, allow offense to run through him. It doesn't have to run to him. He's more than capable of doing things with it if it does. His ability to always be looking forward, no matter where he has the ball, his ability to score, he's got that little drop step. Tim Duncan, rebounding-wise, he's a monster. I'll take Duncan, and again, he's going to help us a little bit defensively, but he can do so many things offensively. He's going to be a pain. And then my center, I got to take Bill Russell. I know you're going to say, oh, Will Chamberlain could score. Yeah, he could, and Russell always beat him. Bill Russell just won. There's always something to be said for that guy that just wins. There are certain people in this world, maybe they don't have the most gaudy stats. Maybe they don't, you always look at him and just say, well, look, the way he plays, it's just a pretty game, or it's just a pretty, he just wins. Bill Russell was a guy that just won. I mean, got as many titles as rings, did it as a player, did it as a player coach. I mean, he was going out and coaching the team while he played. After Auerbach gave it up, Bill Russell was a guy that just amazing. And if I have that team, so if I have Magic, Michael, Larry Bird, Tim Duncan, and Bill Russell, you're not going to score a ton on us because I've got Michael, I've got Duncan, I've got Russell, but we're going to score 200 points a night. I mean, Russell's a monster on the boards. He's going to own every board. He's going to contest every shot. He's going to give you fits inside. I mean. Yeah, I'll feel pretty good about that starting five. And maybe I can have LeBron come off the bench. I don't know. I hope that answers your question. That would probably be my all-time NBA starting five. There's so many good players. You put them in the right system. I guess the players that I would want guys like this that can play with other great players. Magic was always good at playing with other players. Bird could play with anybody. I think Tim Duncan could play with anybody. Obviously, Russell and Jordan, with the way that they won, I want that. But this group, I think, we're gonna be pretty set with that starting five. Let's see what's next. Clint, I started listening to your show back in January. I was still in high school. I still listen every week, and it always brightens my day. I graduated from, well, I'm not going to read the name of your high school, in May, and now I am going away to a college here in the state that he is in. I'm going away to college in the fall. I don't want to sound like a, well, I'm not going to read that word on the podcast. I'm not saying that. I don't want to sound like a blank, but I have never been away from home much in my life, and I'm pretty nervous about it. Do you have any advice on making the move? Thanks, and keep up the great work. That is from Chris. Chris, I wish I knew. Are you a male or female, Chris? Because the advice that I give you might change a little bit based on if you're male or female. Wow, you couldn't be Pat. You had to be Chris, huh? All right. Does it say anything? Does it graduated? Going to college? I don't want to sound. I would say the language would tell me it's a guy, but that means nothing. No, it doesn't say if you're a male or female. All right, well, let me think. Going away to college. You're going to go away to college, but you're going to a college, from what you have said here, it looks like you're going to a college in the state that you live in. So you're going away to college. Let me put this out there first off. Don't be tempted to try to come home every weekend. You're going away for a reason. You're not a million miles away, but you are going away a little bit. Go up there and stay up there. Like, you can come home for holidays and stuff, but if you're coming home every weekend, then it's kind of like you didn't really leave. Let me think about this. Here's some advice for college students. I've had college students when I was coaching a couple kids, and they would ask me for advice. And being at a high school, I can't always give them the advice I want to. But here's some advice I can give you. First off, you might be tempted to sign up for an early morning class. Because you're like, hey, if I get up and do like a 7 a.m. class, I could be done at like noon and have the rest of the day to myself and do whatever I want. Because a lot of kids have to be to school that early for high school. So, I mean, what's the big deal? Let me warn you on that. Don't do it. Don't do it. You will think that sounds like a good idea. And about halfway through the school year, you'll want to kill yourself. For one, the professors hate getting up that early just as much as you do. And you're going to be out doing whatever. You're not going to want to get... Here's a little bit of advice. For the most part, not always, but corporate America kind of revolves around like a 9-to-5, maybe an 8-to-6 kind of schedule, somewhere in that ballpark. Start getting used to that now. Start scheduling your stuff now and start working those hours. Because unless you start working, you know, some weird shifts here and there, that's pretty much where corporate America kind of works. So you might as well start getting used to that idea. If you do the 7 a.m. or if you go the other way and you say, hey, I want to sleep in every day, so I'm going to schedule nothing but classes from like noon on, then you're not preparing yourself for what's coming after you get out of college. So start living your life kind of in that 9-to-5 range, and you'll start getting used to it. I know mom and dad are going to tell you, now, don't be going up to school and drinking those wine coolers. I know that's coming. They're going to tell you not to drink. I'm not stupid, and I'm not gullible, and I'm not naive. I know what goes on at college. I know when you go up there. But let me get a couple things out there clear for you. First off, pour your own drink. Don't leave drinks sitting around and go back and drink them later. And I don't know if you're female, but I cannot emphasize that part enough. If you're going to drink, and you probably are, drink a little bit of water, mix in like some water or Gatorade with your drink. You won't get, you know, sick if you are drinking, and every few drinks you have like a drink of Gatorade too, that'll probably help you. Don't mix your drinks. Don't be, okay, I'm gonna drink this, and then I'm gonna drink this other kind of drink. You're gonna end up getting, and here, if you don't hear me on anything I say here, don't mix drinking with something else. Because that gets into a total different, that gets you like a trip to the ER. And you'll be like, oh, that would never happen to me. Oh, yes, it will. And here's some other advice for you. When you throw up, and you will throw up, do not, like, get, there are, I don't know, for the life of me, I can't understand this. There are certain people on this planet that can't, like, control when they're going to throw up. Like, they just like, oh, I got to throw up right now. You couldn't just run, like 10 seconds before you didn't have that feeling that you could have ran to the bathroom and, like, got to the toilet. But here's the thing. When you do throw up, don't be that person that tries to catch it in your hands. Because do you really think you're going to catch it and, like, fold it up and, like, put it away, like, discreetly? That is not ever going to happen. So let's not do that. What else? Don't be that loud, obnoxious, emotional person when you do drink, because everybody hates that person. Nobody wants to hang out with that person. It's different from high school. In college, like in high school, if you aren't showing up to a class, like your teacher will come over to you, hey, you better start coming to class. College professors could care less if you ever come to class. Like if you don't come to class, that's just less work for me. What you have to do, I know this is going to sound crazy. You have to start being self-disciplined enough to say, if I need to be there, I had better be there, because no one's going to babysit you at college. If you don't go, cool, don't go. I don't care. You better figure out how to get along with your weird roommate, and you probably are going to have a weird roommate, or at least a roommate with maybe different interests than what you have. You're going to have to, and your first instinct is going to be like, man, I got to switch roommates. I got to get somebody else, because this roommate is weird. I get it. I sympathize, but here's the problem. And unless they're like a safety issue, you're going to have to get along with people the rest of your life. You're going to have a boss you don't like. You're going to have coworkers you don't like. It might not even be that they're a bad person. It might just be that, well, they're different. They're someone they're not like a friend of mine. I mean, I don't know them. Maybe they are weird. I don't know. But you're gonna have to get along with people the rest of your life. So you got to find a way to make those things work, to at least get through the day, at least get through when you have to be together. What else would I tell you if you're going away to college? If a professor offers extra credit, you do the extra credit. They don't have to offer it. If they do, it's free. You better take it and be smart enough to take advantage of that. I'm trying to think of when, like, we would take kids up to, like, basketball camp. If you have, like, the public shower, like you have the floor shower in your dorm, you better wear some flip-flops in the shower. And if you don't, like, I mean every day, like you have those shower flip-flops that you wear to the shower. If you don't, you better plan on catching something, because you're going to. I will guarantee it. Trust me on that. And your feet aren't all you better protect in college. That's all I'm going to say about that. What else? Don't go to college and be like, oh, I'm gonna find love. I'm gonna be like relationship. I don't know if you're a guy or girl. I'm gonna be relationship. So just go date, hang out. You're young. Enjoy dating. Have fun. If you're that person that's just locked on to, I'm going to find a relationship and I'm going to find the person I want to spend the rest of my, man, get out of here with that nonsense. You're going to have a painful, painful college experience. And college, it's not, I know that when kids get to be 18, like we start pushing the direction of, you've got to find your lifetime vocation at like 18, 19 years old, and you've got to declare a major, and you don't have to do any of that stuff. You go to college to start getting a little bit more prepared, find out what you like, find out where you're going to go. You don't have to declare, and you don't have to start picking these, and you sure don't have to pick a life partner, a spouse, or whatever you think it might be at that age. Just go enjoy, learn, open your mind, see some different things, learn some different things, find out what you like. That's kind of the most important thing, is it? Have fun. Remember, and kids kind of forget this, someone... Either you, or your family, one of the two, someone's paying a ton of money for you to go to college. It's not free. I know some kids think it's free. It's not. You better get something out of it. Like, you better benefit from it, because someone's paying a ton of money. A lot of kids I know have mom and dad, they're fitting the bill for everything. But if you're paying for it, you're going to be paying for that till you're like 35. So you might want to get something out of it, because it's going to be all on you if mom and dad aren't picking up. And if they are picking up the bill, you might want to actually, you know, do your homework and go to class. The last advice I would give you, get internships if they're available. Internships will help you find jobs in the future. It helps you get connections and find different people maybe within the workplace that might like you, might kind of take you under their wing, might show you some of the stuff that you learned. And when you go try to apply for a job in the real world, that kind of stuff can be very, very valuable. Yeah, I think that's it. I hope that helps. Best of luck to you. Good luck going up to that that school. I know where it's at. Clint, do you ever feel bad for making fun of Peyton Manning for having a big head? That's from Mike. No, I guess would be my answer to that. I don't feel bad for you know, we talk about that every once in a while, saying Peyton Manning has a big head. I feel bad. I'll tell you who I do feel bad for, though. I feel bad for the people that are stuck behind Peyton Manning that are trying to see something. Like, if you are at the movies, And you're sitting there and you go out to see like the new, you know, the big action movie that came out, and you're like, oh, sweet, we got good seats, and we reserved our seats, and we're all set and we're ready. And then like you see Peyton Manning and the wife come in, and he comes and sits right in front of you. I feel bad for that person. I feel really bad for that person, because you're not going to see most of the movie. But no, other than that, I don't really feel bad about any of that. Let's go to the next one. CD, I live in Chiclayo, Peru. Peru? We have someone listening in Peru. And I'm sure I'm butchering that pronunciation of whatever city that is. Chiclayo? Peru. And I love the Daily Dose. I am in high school. I love basketball, but I'm not sure I'm good enough to make our team here. Can you give me some advice? That is from Luis? First off, let me point this out. You're a young person, and apparently a pretty intelligent person. You're asking advice. You can apparently speak a couple of languages pretty fluently, and you're asking advice from someone who barely has a grasp of one. Let me just point that out real quick. Love basketball, not sure I'm good enough. Here's the thing. Well, and in Peru, and I believe this is the case, when you go to Europe or you go to South America, some of these other countries, Asia, some of these other things. Here in the United States, we have sports a little bit different. We're starting to kind of migrate to that kind of type of thing too. But here in the States, a lot of our competitive sports, you play like middle school, and then you play high school, and then you go to college, and you try to play collegiately or whatever. In a lot of these other countries, you play with your city team or your club team. I'm assuming that's what you have, because I know that most schools in other countries don't always offer you know, athletics like that, like we do. A couple things that I would tell you, give you a little bit of advice on. Understand this: a lot of kids, and you're saying you love basketball, you're not sure you're good enough to make the team. Which leads me to think that maybe you haven't played competitively before. The one thing that I would advise you on, understand the commitment level that it takes to play competitively. And it doesn't matter if you're playing for a club team in Peru, if you're playing at a high school team here in the States, whatever. Sometimes kids don't really grasp like the concept. Like, I would have kids come to me when I was coaching, and they'd be like, so coach, I was going to try out for the team this year. And I'd be like, oh, okay, so when's practice? And I'd be like, well, we practice every single day except for Sunday. Like, we practice 6 days a week. And sometimes on Saturdays early in the season, we practice twice. You practice one in the morning, you practice one there. And they're like, really? So you practice every day? Yeah. Yeah, we do. We practice every single day. It's pretty competitive. It's pretty serious. I think that's the one thing you have to realize. If you are going to try to make that jump into competitive basketball, it's a pretty big commitment. It's going to be that time every day, whether it's in the morning or in the afternoon, whenever it is around school. It's going to be a sizable commitment. You're going to have, you know, weightlifting, or you're going to have, you know, practice, or you're going to have, you know, conditioning, or whatever it might be. it's going to affect your schoolwork. It's go, as a high school person, you're going to, it's going to affect your grades. It's going to affect your, you're going to have to, you know, budget your time a little better. It's going to affect your social life. If you're at practice or you're at games every night, your social life kind of changes. Those are the biggest things that I think kids don't always understand. And I don't know your situation there. I could barely pronounce the city you live in. If you're jumping into competitive basketball, that would be my advice. Here's the thing about coaches, because let me give you a little inside look at what coaches are looking for. And this is going to sound crazy, especially in the States. This sounds crazy. Because we kind of sometimes, like, if you talk to the guy down the block that lives from you, and like maybe he played football back in the day, and you say, so you played football. Yeah. What happened? Oh, the coaches didn't like me. You know who the coaches, really are looking for? Like, really good players. And I know that sounds crazy, but, coaches are always looking for talented players. If you have ability, as a coach, I want you. Now, because I get fired if I don't win. So if you can play and you're not a jerk, they're looking for you. If you have some ability to play down there and you don't have a bad attitude or that kind of thing, they're looking for a kid like you. Some people have this mindset, coaches want who they want. They just want their favorites. You know who their favorites are? Their favorites are like good players who can actually do what they ask them to do and are coachable and are decent kids. That's usually what that is. One thing that I always told kids and I always told parents, be coachable. And that might sound easier than what it really is, because a lot of kids and a lot of parents get that kind of confused, and you say you need to be coachable, and they go, oh, okay, so let's see, be coachable. So at the start of practice, I'll come in, I'll shake your hand, and then I'll really stare at you intently when you're saying something, and then after practice, I'll come shake your hand again, and I'll leave. That's being coachable. No, that's not really coachability to me. For me, let's say we're playing a scrimmage or something, and I pull my kids over and I say, hey, we need a good shot here. Like, I need a good shot here. And you go out and you chuck up a bad three. That's where coachability really comes in. It's one thing to listen intently and look at me. It's another thing to actually do what I ask you to do in that kind of where it's heated and it's pressure. And all of a sudden, what am I going to do when the game's on the line? You go down in the corner and like throw a hook shot from like 30 feet away. It's not really what I needed you to do. So that would be my advice to you. Understand the commitment it's going to be, and then, you know, go out there and if you're a coachable kid that has some ability, I wish you the best of luck. Work on your fundamentals. Work on your fundamentals. I know that word gets thrown out a lot, and fundamentals to me are the things that you do the most. So like in basketball, the things you do the most are you dribble the ball. Be a good ball handler. You pass and catch the ball. I know that's an underrated part of the game, but can you pass effectively? Can you catch the ball? I know that sounds like it would be simple, but a lot of kids can't. Can you shoot the ball? Shooting obviously is something very, very big. And then, rebounding and defense. If you can do those things, coaches are at least going to take a look at you. I thank you for the email from Peru. And I wish you the best. Feel free to keep me updated and let me know how that goes. All right, we've just got a couple more here that we've got to get to. Hi, Clint. A friend recommended the podcast, and now I listen every week. I heard you mention that you can give some advice, and I need some advice. Well, then I'm the person you need to contact. I've been talking to a guy since October. He lives in Colorado Springs, but he works up here in Denver. And we've only been on 4 dates when he comes up. I really like him, but he doesn't always seem that interested. I only see him if he comes to Denver. What gives? And this is from Chrissy. What was the other one? Oh, from Chris. This is from Chrissy. Okay. Let's see. I heard you mention you. So you live in Denver, and this guy lives in Colorado. Colorado Springs from Denver is like an hour and a half away. Works here in Denver, and you guys go out when he comes up, and he's up here. But he doesn't always seem that interested. You only see him if he's up here already in Denver for business. What gives? Let me tell you what gives, Chrissy. And I'm going to say this. Here's the thing that I want to kind of preface this a little bit. Chrissy, I don't know you. You sound like a nice person. I guess. You sound like a good person. So in no way does this in any way affect my feeling for you or whether or not you're a good person or whether you're it's not that. This shouldn't affect self-esteem in any capacity. What the situation you have here is, Chrissy, you are what is known in some circles as a side piece. And so he has his girl down in Springs, and then when he comes up here, he kind of hangs out with you. I don't know how to say that any clearer. I hope that that's not insulting in any way. You're the other woman. And I'm not saying he's married. I'm not saying, but that's where this is. Again, you get insight on the Daily Dose. You don't get this anywhere else. You're the side piece. So good luck with that. Chrissy, my advice to you would be to go find another person. Look for a nice person that actually wants to hang out with you and actually wants to be with you. Because he's seeing someone else. Let's move forward. Hey, last one here. Clint, thanks for the Daily Dose. I actually wish it was a daily show. Well, yes, of course, you guys might wish it was a daily show, but do you know how much work it is to do one show? It's a lot of work. I appreciate that. If you had 2 minutes left in the game and you need a quarterback to win, who are you taking? That is from TJ. Very, very good question. Yeah, Daily Dose, Daily Show. It's not a daily show. I guess we can talk about that in the future, but right now we just go once a week. If I had 2 minutes left in the game, that's a tough one because there's a lot of things to think about more than maybe just on the surface. My guy, and you're going to go, oh, well, you're just a homer. John Elway had all the tools. Now, and he was so, so good late in games. Always had that ability to get people around him to play at a higher level late in the games. Sometimes we forget because the Super Bowls that Elway won in 98-99, he was an old man. He could barely move. I mean, he still had a pretty good arm, but he was handing it off to Terrell Davis. He was throwing short to Shannon Sharp and Rod Smith and Ed McCaffrey and those guys. If you look back, like the next time on NFL Network, they're showing like the drive. And in the drive against Cleveland, Elway's playing on a really bad ankle. He had hurt the ankle pretty significantly the week before, and I think that was against New England. And he was running on a bad ankle that week. His ankle was wrapped really, really heavy. Take a look at a couple of the scrambles he had in that game. He runs past corners and safeties. People forget how good of an athlete John Elway was. A guy that put so much pressure on the defense because he had the legs and the speed to run past linebackers, corners, safety. I mean, he was a big guy that could really, really move for a big dude. And then he had a cannon for an arm. I mean, you forget the play where he would roll all the way to his right, throw it clear back across to the left where the defense kind of said, well, he can't throw it this far, so we just have to kind of cover the midline area. He could throw it over your head. So John Elway is probably a guy that would be at the top of my list. My only issue with that, he wasn't always great in Super Bowls. Joe Montana was a guy that was just Joe Cool. I mean, we saw what he did in Super Bowls, the one especially against the Bengals when it was, you know, the last few minutes of the game and he takes them right down the field, converts a few big plays. Joe Montana was just Joe Cool. I mean, dude didn't get rattled, always really, really good. I don't know that he was that good athletically, played in a phenomenal system. I'm not going to say he was just a system guy, but Joe Montana was just the right guy for that system and never got rattled. I'll give you a couple other guys that I would take, and he just passed earlier this summer. Kenny Stabler. Kenny Stabler was a guy that, you know, when we did a show a few weeks back where we talked about guys that were underrated. Kenny Stabler just missed being on that list. And after he had passed away, I really wish I had put him on there. But Kenny Stabler was a guy, I don't know numbers-wise you would put him there, but late in the game, and it might be illegal plays, I don't know, but Kenny Stabler just found ways to make plays. And the last guy that I would put on that list would have to be Roger Staubach. When you look at Roger Staubach and his winning percentage, And again, late in the game, when things were tight and everybody else, you're kind of looking for that leader. You're kind of looking for that guy. How are we going to get this done? Roger Staubach was a guy that just said, hey, we'll be fine. We'll get this done. And always found a way to succeed, late in games. So I guess there's four guys for you. I guess the homer in me, I'll take John Elway. I think he was so good late in games, but any of those four guys, I'm going to be fine late in the game with. That is our mailbag for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. I really do. I appreciate the questions. If you have a question that you would like to send in, and we got questions from everywhere. I had a couple, they were questions, but just emails. I had one from Russia. I had one from Germany. We get kind of some stuff from all over the world. We had a question here from someone in Peru. So if you have a question you would like to send me, dailydosesports@gmail.com, that comes to us here at the show. You may be on another edition of the Daily Dose mailbag. Hey, next week on the podcast, I have something that I think you're going to like a lot. I went down, you know, kind of getting done with summer and getting ready. You know, kids are going to be going back to school here in the next week or two. I went down and was cleaning up the basement a little bit, and I found some old Daily Dose clips. And I mean going back to the old radio show. We have some clips that I'm going to play that I think you really want to check out. We've got some good stuff. You're going to have to trust me on this. We have some clips that I think you're really, really going to like next week. You do not want to miss that. If you get a chance, please, 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 if you enjoy the show, please go on to iTunes. Give us a rating. Give us that 5-star rating and just give us a quick review. Doesn't have to be anything huge. Just, hey, love the show. That's perfect. It just helps us get a little bit more visibility, get us a few more listeners. And the more listeners we get, the better this is going to get. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do this show without you. I would like to thank all of you for listening every week. I really do appreciate it. It means a lot. I hope you enjoyed the show this week. We have something good for you next week too. I will see you all next week. Have a great week, everybody.